in Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that the Word of God says to us that when we gather in His name, He's faithful to be in the midst of us. So I want you to know that today the Lord is here for healing, for inspiration, to help you in every situation that you have going on in life. So even as we worship today, make sure your heart and mind is open to the Lord, because I'm telling you, He wants nothing more but to move in our life. And I tell you, when you take the effort to come out to a place, and it's not this building so much, it's the very fact that it's set apart for God. And that when we come here, we're honoring Him, we're putting Him forth first, and we're letting Him know, Father, we're here to lift our hands and to worship You and to hear Your input into our life. And I'm telling you that that's how we need to walk in life, and that's certainly how we need to begin today. So have your hearts open, and let's experience what God has for us. Amen? Praise God.
Hallelujah. Are you ready to praise and worship? You know what I seen this morning? Say what? I seen, is it Miss Linda? Come in here walking with carrying her cane.
Amen.
That just encouraged my soul. Hallelujah.
Hey, so this morning, it was kind of interesting. We was trying to get the kids to come in here with us and stuff like that and get engaged in worship, because whether you recognize it yet or not, their relationship with God's reflected in how you interact with God.
Yes.
And so we brought them in here and we got them to sing If You're Happy and You Know It. Mm-hmm. And they did a couple of verses with us. And I said, okay, I said, now I'm going to challenge you. I was like, I want you guys to sit in here and worship with us for a song. I was like, because you guys should be that much more driven to want to engage and interact with God than what you were to come in here and sing two verses of this song. And so these guys just exploded. And so we asked Pastor if it was okay if we could invite the kids back up here with us, because we just want you guys to just see what we got to see this morning. And not just that, but we want to see it just break something off of you guys as well. Carrie was talking this morning. It was encouraging and just a good reminder about how David danced before the Lord.
Yes.
And, you know, what's going on around you and the people around you, man, it doesn't matter at all. You know, it's just about engaging in worship and getting involved with Him. So you can clap for them, because I think they're a little nervous. I told them, I said, you guys got to have the same energy that you had this morning, because, man, they were getting it.
Do you see what I see?
We are rich.
impossible. Do you see what I see? That the grave is empty. Do you know what I know? Anything is possible. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
I see something, I see wonder.
That's the reason why. That's the reason.
worship the way that I do. 'Cause I got a reason to praise Him high. I know I've got nothing to lose. 'Cause I've got a reason to. I've got a reason to.
Come on, you got a reason. Come on.
'Cause I've got a reason to. 'Cause I've got a reason to. Got a reason to let my hands to my feet, hear and dignified. I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was found, now I'm free, walking in the light. That's the reason why. That's the reason why. Let my hands to my feet, hear and dignified. I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was found, now I'm free, walking in the light. That's the reason why. That's the reason why.
Jesus, it's all for you. Thank you.
come reckless with praise. I bring a heart that wants you first, all for your glory.
Yes. Yes. My feet on the battleground. Yeah. My weapon will be my sound. I will not be silent. My song is my trust. Make this place an altar. Sing, my soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar. Sing, my soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar. I enter the gates with nothing. Wanna bring you more than words. I answer the gates. Come reckless with praise. I bring a heart that wants you first. All for your glory. Answer the gates with nothing but thanks. I wanna magnify your worth. I wanna bring you more than words. I answer the gates. Come reckless with praise. For your glory, your glory, oh, for your glory, your glory, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Yes. Thank you, God. Yeah.
So hard to see it. Yeah. It took me so long to believe it. That you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give one we don't deserve it. Can find
These guys in their heart is that they just want to worship, and sometimes that just kind of pours out. And our prayer is that we get you to engage in worship. You see what I'm saying? That's what the Levites did. What are you talking about? I'm not going to preach at you. I'm just saying, interaction and worship. These are in here. We leave these in here. We could break them out if we wanted to, but this is the moment where you guys get to interact with God, and you guys get to commune with Him, and you're not waiting on us just to throw something out there and start talking. We literally just had that conversation this morning. Our heart is we want to see you guys just get into worship with us.
Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority that Jesus has given me. When I lift, when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority that Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. You are my champion. The giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won. I am who you say I am. Oh. Heavenly place undefeated. With the one who has conquered. You're my champion. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You've crowned me with confidence. I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has come.
One more time, you're my champion.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Jesus is on the throne. Amen. Amen. And he is faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to give you a revelation this morning that if you have a plan that doesn't include God, and if you think that things are just going to happen and always go well just the way you want them to go well without the Lord involved, I want you to know that that's a perfect formula for failure. Amen? Praise God. We cannot do it without him. And I want you to know that the will of God will come to pass. Amen? I'm telling you that we can never forget that our God is in control and he will make things happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Was it good to have the kids come up here and worship a little bit this morning? Amen. Praise God. You will see how your worship team hears from the Lord here in just a few minutes when I preach my message, when you see what the focus of my message is today. And you might know by now, if you're hearing in the Spirit, we're going to concentrate on children. Amen. Praise God. But anyhow, this time we're going to let the kids go to class and let the teens go to their class. Praise God. And that's going to be a blessing. Amen. Praise God. And I do want to remind you of something that next Sunday, okay, right after service on Sunday, and you'll notice when you go to sign up out there that my wife isn't here to take care of this because we have a sign-up sheet out there for those of you who want to go through what we call next steps. And that will be next Sunday after church. So if you're newer here and you haven't had a chance to hear what we believe and the history of the church and things like that, and find out how you can get involved in certain areas of the church, and you want to take that next step, the next Sunday, I want you to go out there and sign up. And that's because, of course, we're going to have some food. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to know ahead of time who's coming so we make sure that we have enough food. Hallelujah. You guys know that about me, man. Praise God. I was reading that Bible shortly after I got saved, and I read where the Lord was walking on the shore, and all of a sudden, he made fish for the disciples. My goodness. I said, so now I don't have to fight and be violent anymore. I don't have to lie or do anything wrong. I can have peace in my life, and I get to eat. Praise God. Salvation is definitely for me. Amen. I'm sticking with it. Praise God. But anyhow, I want to take a few minutes to share something with you. How many of you remember our beloved friend and family member, Mr. Bob Hoover? Okay, well, when Bob was living, there was a time where he wanted to do something for the church, so he added some gravel and stuff out into the to add extensions to our parking lot. And it's been several years, 3 or 4 years ago, that that endeavor was taken on. And lo and behold, what happened is on the end of December, we got a notice that we have an invoice from that time. Now, at that time, Bob had intended to take care of everything, including the finances, and he was handling that on his own. But we just found out from the guy that he was working with that we just got an invoice the end of December. So what we're doing today is we're going to take up our normal offering, but also this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm just extending a time for you to pray and see if God wants you to sow directly into that invoice that we had to pay for the parking lot there. And it was pretty, it was it was some finances. So if that's something that touches your heart, make sure that you give into that. And with that being said, I'll just step into this moment of saying that giving is certainly part of our journey, isn't it? It's part of what the Lord says. He says in the Word that it's better to give than to receive. But he also says this, that if you do give, he will make sure it's given back to you, pressed down and in good measure. You know, another scripture in the Bible says that when we open up our heart and tithes and offerings and we do what God tells us to do in giving, that not only does he rebuke the devourer for our behalf, but he will also open the windows of heaven. I want you to know that he will give you favor. He will work with you and give you opportunities that can only come across our path because God is involved in what we do. Amen? So let's make sure we keep our heart open, and let's make sure that we're always making room for Jesus. Amen? Praise God. So at this time, we're going to bring the offering buckets up. And remember, we're taking up our regular tithe and offering, but we're also opening up a chance for you to give towards this specific invoice that we need to take care of. Amen? And the Lord will be faithful. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray, and right now I just thank you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, I thank you that in the area of giving and finances and God provision, that you did not want us to be alone, that you want to help us, God. You know, when we give our tithes and offerings, it allows you to bless whatever we have in our hand, Father. And Lord, you can increase and extend what we have, Father. And Lord, you provide for us. And God, I just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Praise God. Well, I want you to know something, that we're finishing up how we opened up pretty much this year, talking about putting things in order, ordering our life the way God would have us order our life. In other words, remembering at all times to make God your priority. Remember that before we're here to live for ourselves, we're here to live for him. Amen? Praise God. And we want to make sure that everything we do is founded in the goodness and the grace of God. So I'm going to start with this scripture just to remind us that what we're talking about is setting our life in order. And the first thing we need to remember is that God created man, right? And it says in the book of Genesis that he breathed breath into man so that we could be a living soul. That scripture alone should make us get a clue. Hey, light bulb, come on. If I needed the Lord to breathe and to have life, I need his wisdom and his touch on my life to live this life the way it should be lived. Amen? And then we also know, praise God, hallelujah, for God to make sure that a husband and wife would come together, we know that that bond has to be supernatural. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm just throwing that out there. By the way, continue to pray for Pastor Regina, because she keeps having ups and down moments right now where she's feeling better, and she thinks she's on the other side of the battle, and she gets out and runs for a minute, and then, you know, symptoms come back and all that. So we're believing that this week we'll finish that out, and she'll be back up and running at full capacity. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But anyhow, I just want to remind you that the beginning of man required God, and the finish of man will require God. I want you to know that the Bible says this, that the Lord himself says, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. You know what's so exciting about that is that means that at any time in this journey of life, we come to the revelation of how much we need Jesus, and we say, Lord, I want to receive you as Lord and Savior, and I need your help to navigate life. Then at that moment, he's right there, and he says yes. And then what's so powerful is when he begins a race with us, he will finish the race with us. Amen? He says, I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. He says, if I'm going to begin this journey with you, I will not leave you from now and forever. Amen? And I want you to know that that does not just mean till we finish this physical race on this earth, but it means that even when I say goodbye to this natural world, I'm just stepping in to the next dimension of the relationship I have with the Lord. Amen? And that is powerful. And I want you to see something here, because the Lord is speaking in the Bible. And in Matthew chapter 7, it says this powerful statement to us in verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and remember, John 6:63 says that the word of God is spirit and life. Amen? That means that it is wisdom, that it's directional, and that it's living today. The word of God is alive, and it will bring change to us. It will bring health to us. It will bring identity to us, confidence to us. It will bring wisdom to us to know how to do this thing called life. But it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. You know, when we build our life upon Jesus Christ, it means that in the stressful times of life and in the difficult times of life, we won't fall victim to the ways of man trying to solve his issues. You know, there are so many addictions. There's so many things that we fall into, debt, addiction, self-destruction, all kinds of things can happen when we're not founded in God. You know, one of the things I like about the Lord is that when we are going through the most difficult seasons in life, you know, the amazing thing happens, and I'm telling you, that peace comes. You know, the Bible says that the Lord will give you peace beyond understanding. I want you to know sometimes, now, I'm being very serious when I say this. Regina and I don't fight very much. We get along well. I have a strong neck, you see, because I'm always saying, yes, dear, no, dear, whatever you say, dear, praise God. But when we were younger in our faith, and we did argue, especially when we were first making the transition into really living for God, and, you know, she had never, ever went to church and stuff growing up, and she went through some things that were difficult. So when we were making that transition, I remember that God got me to the point that even when we were arguing, I'd be at peace. Because what she didn't know was that me and God had a secret covenant. And I had prayed and said, Lord, even if I make my wife mad, as soon as she begins to calm down, she's going to love me more, and she's going to think I'm a great man. You guys don't believe you can pray that way? You can. My goodness. You're praying about being a man of God. You're praying about being the leader of your home. You're praying about being more Christ-like. And if you're praying and doing things and your motives are that way, then my wife didn't have a choice that when she calmed down, she was going to love me more whether she liked it or not. Praise the name of the Lord. I got to tell you something. I'll never forget that one time she was mad at me, and she was frustrated when we were young, and she was just letting some things go, and she walked off. And it wasn't but just a couple minutes later that she come up, and it was one of the first times she put her little arm around me and said, honey, I love you. And then she still walked away. But for me, I was like, whoa, what a victory march, amen? I want you to know something, that you need to truly make sure that God is interwoven into everything you do. I want you to know, I pray this doesn't happen to any of you, but anybody who has a good job today, and I pray this doesn't happen, but sometimes jobs come to an end. And if we're not careful, if our hope, our faith, our confidence for provision, our big safety net and our big confidence, is in our job alone, then when that job goes away, sometimes we can fall into places that are very difficult. You know, we can come into debt, we can come into worry, we can come into stress, we can put stress on our relationships. But I want you to remember something, that if you remember this from what the Word of God says, you will always have a confidence, even if your job closes up. The Bible says this, when we work diligently as unto the Lord, we will be successful. You know, and the one thing that always kept me going, because I worked in a union shop for a long time, and sometimes it would come up that they're going to close the doors and move us, and especially during negotiation times, it would get stressful because you're hearing all these stories. But I can remember that people would come up to me and say, why aren't you worried? Why are you so peaceful during this time? And I said, because my confidence, don't get me wrong, I love my job, I enjoy my job, but my confidence is not in this place. My confidence is in the fact that God, first of all, gave me this job, granted me and blessed me to be here and do a good job. And if this job goes away, then the Lord will grant me and bless me in the next place that I'm going to. Amen? And so I want you to know something, that everything we do in every area of life, your backup plan and your first plan should be the same. Rely upon the name of the Lord. Amen? Woo, praise God. Well, I want to remind you that we talked about the fact that individually, our life must be prioritized by the Lord. And then as husbands and spouses, our life need to be prioritized as the Lord. And then, of course, if those things are true, then the next place that needs to be a priority from the Lord is your children and what they're believing and what they're doing. Amen? And the Lord even declares that there's a way that we need to train our children up, right? And I want you to know something. God is invested in making investments in us and making investments in our children so that we can be guaranteed that there are safe investments in the future. Amen? Because I want you to know something. Every generation needs people of faith to carry it to the next generation. Praise God. I want you to know that all of us are here because Jesus came and because there was those in that generation that received the Lord. I could go all day and show you scripture after scripture that says a city will be blessed because of the people of God that live there. I can remind you that Abraham basically went to the Lord and said, Lord, if there be 10 good people in this city, won't you keep it going? And he said, absolutely, if there's 10 good, I will bless it and not come against it. So I want you to be reminded of this, and I want you to just hear some of the things that the Lord has to say to us today when it comes to children and just how important they are. Amen? I'm going to go to the book of Genesis and read out of Genesis chapter 18, because there's something very powerful that the Lord says here. In verse 18 of Genesis 18, the Lord says this, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I want you to know something. Isn't it interesting that one of the reasons the Lord chose Abraham to be a blessing and to present the way to live is because Abraham was going to be man enough to teach his children about the Lord. Praise God. I want you to know something, that if you have children on your own today, I want you to know that they are put in your life by God, believing that you would raise them up in the way of the Lord. I want you to know something. If you're single today, or if you're a grandparent, or if you don't have children directly that are yours, I want you to know that you still have a capacity to influence children in a Christ-like manner. Amen? I want you to just give you an example. I was on vacation, and we were going on a Sunday morning to get some pastries at a little pastry shop. And it was amazing because we got in there, and there's a young man in there, maybe 14 or 15 years old. And right away, I was drawn to this young man, and I said, Lord, I just feel like I'm going to do something for him. And the Lord said, just wait a minute. And it was so hilarious because another friend of mine that was there with me, all of a sudden, he just picked up a conversation with this young man, and we found out that that young man was doing something, coming out for the family and doing some things that he had been instructed to do, and then he was going back so he could go to church. And it was funny because my friend just reached over and blessed that young man with some money and just said, hey, you know, keep pursuing Jesus. Amen? I want you to know something, that whether you have children directly or not, you are going to get opportunities in life to be a blessing to them and to let them experience a moment of what Jesus can do. Amen? Boy, his little eyes got this big. And he said, oh, thank you so much. And you could just see he was on cloud nine. You know, that was just a moment for us and just a moment of time for us. But I'm telling you, that moment will stick out in that child's life. And you need to understand something, that in whatever capacity that you deal with children, maybe you help out in your church, maybe you have, you know, a niece or a nephew, or again, maybe you have children directly that are yours, I want you to know that God has an expectation that you will influence those children by his word and through his word, and how you raise them is important. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to just share something with you out of the book of Deuteronomy, and the Lord is speaking, and he says something, and it's very profound. He says in verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and shalt talk of them when you are sitting in your home or when you walk by the way. And for us today, that would be if you drive somewhere, praise God. And when you lay down, and when you rise up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. In other words, you know what? The signs of your faith should not just be in church on a Sunday morning. Signs of your faith. How are they on the doorposts of our house? Well, we pray in our house. We make sure that certain language doesn't happen in our house. We make sure that we're monitoring what's on our TV in our home. There's many ways that you have to make sure that God is beyond a Sunday morning service in your house. I also want to remind you here that it said something very important, didn't it? It said, when you are in your house, teach your children about the Lord. And when you're out of your house, you should still teach the children about the Lord. I want you to know something, that this was very interesting. I was getting the privilege of having some papa time with my grandchildren this morning, and we were driving into church, which they always get super excited about. Yay, we're going to church today. But it was amazing because we're driving along, and my little grandson just out of nowhere, we're listening to music. They always want me to listen to music, and I had to turn the music down because he said, Papa, the sun is just so bright today. And so it opened up a conversation. I said, yes, it is, JJ. I said, do you know why the sun is so bright today? He said, yeah, so it can make it a really nice, bright day. I said, absolutely. I said, do you know why else the sun is so bright today? And he said, why, Papa? And I said, because our Father God in heaven ordered the sun to be bright for humanity from the beginning of time until now. And he said, wow, Papa. And I said, yeah. I said, and when you get older, because you'll forget this right now, but I'll have to remind you, when you get older, you know that there are some benefits of being in the sun that actually helps our body and actually causes certain vitamins to be in our body. And he said, wow, okay. I said, you don't understand all that now, but you will. The biggest thing I want you to understand is that the sun is so bright and the sun makes you feel so happy because the Lord created the sun that way. And he said, well, what about the moon? And I said, oh, JJ, I said, the moon was also created by God. And he said, wow. And I said, yep. And what God wanted the moon to do was still bring some light to the night so that it's not pitch dark and that we could still see a little bit if we go outside. And if we look up, we can see the moon and the stars at night, and they're beautiful, and you can still have peace in the middle of darkness. He said, okay. And then we went right back on into worship music. But I want you to know something. Make sure that anytime you can, take time to infuse the children you get to infuse with a moment of faith, because God needs you to train them in the arena of faith. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know that our God is good all the time, and he's with us all the time. Amen? And then when I got here, I did send Miss Regina a little teasing message to let her know that I was having Papa time with the grandbaby. But anyway, that's a different subject. I want you to hear something here from the Lord. Amen? Praise God. In the book of Proverbs, it says this. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, it says this. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increase, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want you to know something. That parents, we have scripture that says discipline must be a part of the household. Amen? But I also want you to see that it says here that we are to correct our children. I want you to know something, that each of you should prayerfully have a plan of unity as a husband and wife of how you're going to raise your children and the things that are right and wrong in your home. And I want you to know something. You should have a plan for discipline in your home. When Philip grew up, there was things that he knew would equal a certain amount of discipline. Amen? And I want you to know something. One of the main reasons why that is so important, and we're going to get into this, is because your correction of your children must be done in love. And your correction of your children shouldn't just be to keep your own heart happy and peaceful because they're too loud or this or that, but your correction of your children should be a reflection of your goal of raising them up in the honor and the admonition of the Lord. Amen? I want you to know something. Parents, we have to be careful about what we say when we're correcting our children. We have to be careful about how we set them down and let them know why they're being corrected. Not only do they want to honor their mother and father, but most importantly, you are trying to teach them how to please the Lord. Amen? Praise God. So us men, sometimes there's words that we should minimize. You're going to straighten up and do this because I said so. You're going to straighten up and do this because it's right and because you're going to honor God in your life as long as you're in my household. Amen? And sometimes we need to mention the Lord in the middle of disciplining our children, because it will help us measure how and why we're disciplining our children, and it'll help us keep our temper under control. Amen? Remember, the Lord said that he wants us to be angry and sin not. You know, sometimes righteous indignation is going to rise up, and boundaries are going to come that you're going to be aware of. Hey, this needs to be a boundary, whether it's raising your children or anywhere else in life. But also with that righteous indignation, or that moment that rises up in us where we can be disappointed in something and we know we have to bring correction to something, there needs to be a balance there where we're making sure that that is done in honor to the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to read something else here. Hallelujah. Boy, you guys are quiet this morning. Praise God. I hope that doesn't mean that I'm boring you this morning, or that you're mad at what I'm saying this morning, because whether you like it or not, I can't change it. If it's in the Word of God, I'm going to preach it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says this, remember, in Proverbs chapter 22, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want you to know something, that not only do you want to train your children in the natural things, like being disciplined to do their homework, being responsible to get up and go to school and go to bed. You know, I remember the first time Philip was around, he was very young, but I had to sit him in a chair, and I said, Philip, part of the reason why you have to go to bed at night is not just because mommy and dad want you to, but God created us as people to need to rest and sleep so that we can get up the next day and have all the energy to play and do everything that you want to do tomorrow. And I would just sit him down and tell him that. And you know what? All of a sudden, you know, I didn't have to yell at him to go to bed. I didn't have to tell him, boy, get to bed or I'm going to bust your tail. It's past your bedtime. I did not have to threaten him to go to bed. He just started getting up and going. And he would pray funny things like, Lord, I thank you that I had energy to play today and I had fun. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to have energy tomorrow after I rest. Praise God. Remember to use your wisdom and your authority as a parent to lay out guidelines, but also remember to incorporate God to help you raise and train your children. It doesn't just say we should just discipline our children, but we're training our children. Why? Because from now until they go up, you want them to have an attachment to their relationship in God just like you have. Amen? So teach them. Of course, you got to teach them how to clean their room, and you got to teach them, like I said, how to get a bath, go to school, do all that kind of stuff. But make sure in the middle of that you're teaching them other things. Make sure that you take time to just say, hey, we're going to pray that today you have a good day. We're going to pray that the Lord just blesses your day at school today. Amen? When they get ready to take a little quiz or something, I can't tell you the number of children that have come up to me. And one little girl came up to me one time and said, Pastor, I need you to pray because I can't do spelling. I said, you can't? And she said, nope, I get bad grades all the time. And I said, do you know what the Bible says? She said, what? I said, well, the Bible says that after we're saved, we have the mind of Christ. And she went, oh. And I said, yeah, so that means, was Jesus smart? She said, yes. I said, so what does that mean about you? She said, that I'm smart? I said, yep, and he will help you do spelling. And I just prayed for her and prayed that the Lord gave her the mind of Christ and that she could do spelling. And I got to tell you something, she couldn't wait to bring her paper in and show me that she had gotten an A on her spelling test. Don't wait till your children are 18 to invest God in them. If they can tie their shoe, guess what? They can know that Jesus is Lord. If they can throw a football, praise God, and I want them to throw the football. I like to play baseball. Hallelujah. Do whatever you want to. But if you can train your kid in those natural things, then I'm telling you right now, you have a chance to train them in the things of God. Amen? And the Lord expects you to train them in the things of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to go here, and we're probably going to rest in this scripture a little while. Even though we've already been here, I want you to just hear something, because this is something you should teach your children. Remember, the Lord said that the reason he was blessing Abraham, one of the reasons, is that he would teach his children's children. You know, that means that not only would he teach his children, but he'd invest in the future of his grandchildren. Amen? And I want you to just see something here that is powerful and that should speak to all of us. And this should be a very popular scripture. It should be well known. And this is something that I really like. Praise God. But it says in Ephesians chapter 6, listen to what it says. Children, obey your parents. Now, it'd be nice if it just stopped right there, right? But it doesn't. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, this is not only giving your children a responsibility to obey you, but it's also giving you a guideline that says one of the reasons why your children are going to obey you is because you're raising him up or her up in the requirements or the knowledge or the responsibility or the awareness of the Lord. This is right, is what it says. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I want you to know something. Parents, don't be afraid to tell your children, hey, part of the reason why I got to train you, part of the reason I'm instructing you, part of the reason that I correct you is because the Lord tells me that that's a part of my parental responsibility, so you can learn how to live for him as well as love us, and we're going to love you, and this will give you long life on the earth. We want you to live a long time. We want you to be blessed, and don't be afraid to teach your children things like this. Hallelujah, amen. Praise God. It's a good thing for you to teach them this stuff along with what my mom taught me, who was she loved Jesus and lived her whole life for the Lord. But I won't forget that sometimes she would use that old saying. I'll be that. If you're old school, you know what I'm going to say. Boy, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lean a little more on faith than that part of it. But what I want you to see here is that the Lord gives us confidence as parents to know that he's given us children, number one, because he trusts us. He knows we have the capacity to love them, teach them, train them. But also, he gives our children some responsibilities. And again, if they can tie their shoe, they can hear what the Lord expects out of them. Amen? So it's just not mom and dad expecting this. This is what the Lord expects out of them. And it says this right here to us too. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hello? This doesn't mean we don't spank them bottoms when they need it. Praise God. That's a part of raising your child up correctly. But it does mean that when we are correcting our children and when we are interfacing with our children, as fathers that are being directed by the Lord, we should know something. We should know this. When Adam was on the earth, God helped him name every living creature that's on this earth. That's why we still call cows cows today, amen? And what I want you to know is, what should that say to us as a father? If Adam's first responsibility was to speak over the earth, and speaking was a part of the dominion and the creation and the goodness that God created, we should know this. The words we speak to our children when they're young are going to be words that speak in their heart for all of their life. The first thing, and when we have the most influence on our children, is when they're young. And so we have to make sure that when those children are young, the words we speak are going to go a long way to carve out their future. So we have to make sure that as fathers, when we're correcting our children, we don't say, "How could you be so stupid? We've been over this 10 times. How can you be so stupid? Don't be so dumb." I mean, there are many things that we say not intending to be mean, but we have to make sure that we are careful about how we speak to them. "Hey, this isn't right. We don't do this. We need to correct this. We need to fix this. Son, I love you, but here's what we need to do." I'll never forget the first time that Philip, as he was growing up, I always told him, "Boy, if you lie to me, you're going to receive a harsher punishment than if you told me the truth. So just own what you do." And I told him, I said, "In the Bible, it says that as we grow up, we're going to be accountable for what we say and what we do, and we have a responsibility to do our best to have a good name." I said, "So just own what you do." And I'll never forget when he came home. I don't know what age he was, but he was still young, and he came home, and he told me some things that he did wrong that day. And instead of giving him the that I normally would, the Lord said, "Take him and get some ice cream and just talk through this situation." So I just put him in the car, and I didn't tell him ahead of time where we were going because I didn't want him to think that I was rewarding his bad behavior, praise God. But we pulled up to get ice cream, and I remember his eyes got this big. And I said, "Now, Philip, I'm going to tell you something. If you do this again, you ain't getting ice cream." I said, "But I'm honoring the fact that you were willing to tell Dad the truth, and that I want you to know that because of that, because you did right even though you've done wrong, we're going to start differently than what we would normally do, amen? And I'm not telling you to do that. Only do it if you're led by the Lord, because you know your children. I don't. You know what they need. I don't. You and the Lord pray, and you guys decide what that is, amen? Praise God, because every child's different, and every child should be raised in the admonition of the Lord, and he empowers you to do that, amen? Praise God. But I do want you to see here that how can a father provoke their child? Well, obviously, with words and anger, but also physically, we can go too far. Make sure that when you're correcting your children, you're correcting them with some restraint, you're correcting them in a way that the Lord has given you the responsibility. I want you to know something, that I didn't always like the way my mom corrected me, and believe it or not, even though my dad whipped harder, I sometimes liked to get a whipping from him as opposed to my mom. Because my dad would kind of have it set that I was going to get a whipping, and he'd just pop, pop, pop with the belt. My mom, sometimes when she whipped me, I had to go pick my own switch. And then as she whipped me, "Boy, didn't I tell you not to?" You know, she had to give me a whole talking to of why she was correcting me. And that lasted a lot longer than just the punishment Dad gave me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. I got to tell you, one time I knew my dad was going to whip me when he came home. So I put on about as many pair of pants as I could. And I had a little jumpsuit that I could barely zip up by the time he was ready to whip me. But hallelujah, amen. I survived, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to see something here that the Lord is just saying to us today. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In other words, bring them up in the training and the way that God would have you do. Amen. You know, it's interesting because right after that, it switches the gears a little bit And it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So I want you to know something, that the Bible reflects one way of us growing up children naturally, and then it immediately turns to the fact of how we need to grow ourselves up. And one thing it's telling us is when it says, work as unto your masters or your bosses as good servants, I want you to know something, that the Bible requires that even if our boss is mean, there should still be a way that we work with the ethics that say, I'm working beyond this character. I'm working as though I'm working and doing what I do for the Lord. Amen? Praise God. I think that's one thing why tithing and offering sometimes helps us do our job. Amen? Because it lets us know that our job is more than just what we're doing on a physical day-to-day. It's a way that we can have a relationship with God, and it's a way that we know that the Lord says this, what? That he will bless the works of your hands. Amen? That he gives us skills and things that we can use on this earth so we can function and so that we can do things in the right way. Amen? I want to remind you of one more thing here that's very powerful and very needed, and this is that the Bible says this, praise God, and I'm going to let you look it up, but the Bible says this. If we cannot love man who we physically can see and who we relate with on a day-to-day basis, if we can't love humanity who we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? I want you to know something. Your faith works both ways. Because in order for you to love God the way you should love God, first you have to love yourself. And then out of that, you have to start loving other people. And the minute you are able to be compassionate towards your children in the middle of their mistakes, guess what? The Lord will reflect to you why he can love you despite all your mistakes. Praise the Lord. The minute you can be sweet to your wife, or you wives can be sweet towards your husbands, all of a sudden, and you can prefer them over yourself, guess what? It starts reflecting to you, wow, this is how God can love me. Because as handsome as I am and as perfect as I am, no, I'm just kidding you. I know that I have some flaws that Miss Regina can see way more than you can see and more often than you can see. And guess what? Despite of my flaws and my weaknesses, she loves me. And I thank God that sometimes I sit there and say, Lord, just like Regina can love me even when I mess it up, this is how you have first loved us before we ever stepped rightly with him. Amen? This is the sure foundation of our faith, isn't it? That the Lord says to us, I loved you before you loved me. In other words, even before you knew who I was, I knew who you were. And even when you weren't living for me, I want you to know that my love is chasing you down. Amen? And even in our weaknesses and even in what we do wrong, God is there to help us, to pick us up. And he will never lose his faithfulness of helping you journey through this thing called life. Amen? Praise God. We just want to be thankful today that God is with us. Amen? I want you to know something. If anything I said today makes you concerned about maybe some of the things you've said to people or your children or some things that you have done that you need to correct or that you want to fix, first of all, remember that the Bible says this, there is for us now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen? In other words, don't waste a lot of time being sorrowful and saying, whoa, this is why my kids like this. This is why I did this. I did this. I can't fix this. No, no, no. Where you are right now, you can begin a different journey. Amen? First of all, just repent. If your children are older, just tell them, hey, I'm sorry I did this. I made this mistake in raising you. Amen? And if they're young enough where you still have influence on them, just make adjustments. Just repent before the Lord and just say, Lord, help me do this differently going forward. Amen? Because the Lord is with us. Amen? And the number one reason why we need to train our children up in the way of the Lord. You want to know why? It's because if we will train them up in their innocence and in their vulnerability and when they're just learning about life, number one, it's the time we're going to have the most influence over them. But number two, the most important reason is that the Lord says, if you invest in them now, I'll make a covenant with you that when your children are older, they'll still come to me, even if they get out there living the wrong way. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. And I can tell you story after story of people I have met that said, hey, I grew up in church and I got away from God, or my mom was always praying for me. And, you know, I want you to know something, that you are going to find out that what you invest in your children through the Lord right now, and what you invest in your spouse through the Lord right now, what you invest in those who you love right now, I'm telling you that it's worth it. Amen? Because God will make a way. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I've probably talked enough for today. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that the Bible says this, that we have a right to declare our household is under your authority, God. From the very beginning, from when Joshua stood up and said, hey, you've all seen what God has done and how he's brought us out of Egypt and how he helped us cross the Red Sea and now the River of Jordan. And I've seen that you see that God has done some things in your life. And Joshua said, I can't control what you do, but because of what I've seen of the Lord, as far as for me and my house, we're going to serve him. And I pray that today, each and every one of us are making that decision. If you've been walking with God, you're just confirming the fact that this is how I'm going to live going forward. And if you haven't been walking with the Lord, I pray that today's a moment where you are really just asking him for more help and moving your heart closer to the Lord, because he will meet you right where you're at, and he will help you right where you're at. Amen? Father, I just declare your blessing upon our households. I declare your blessing upon us as individuals, as families, as spouses, as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, and just as loving people that have the opportunity to influence children, God. I just thank you that you help us do it in honor of you, Father. And Lord, I just pray that today, whether people are online or in this service, God, that if they're making a commitment to you, that they just open their heart fully and say, Lord, just help me navigate life. Be my Lord and Savior and help me, Father. And Lord, help me fix anything that I've done wrong or that I'm doing wrong. Let me open up to how you'd have it done. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We have some prayer requests. Hallelujah. Aw, Amy has a prayer request for Dolores, who's recovering from neck surgery. Father, first of all, we thank you for this procedure, God, that it was done well, and God, that she's on the road of recovery. Lord, I pray healing over her come quickly, Father. I pray that the restoration process and her healing and recovery would be faster than even the doctors thought, and that this procedure would do more than they even thought, Father, that this would correct things that were wrong in a great way, God, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we pray for Stacy right now, God, that, Father, as she waits for these test results, that, Lord, first of all, truth and whatever is needed would be revealed, Father, because what you reveal, you also heal, God. And, Lord, I thank you that you would show Stacy the next steps after these tests. And, God, I'm thanking you for the things that they don't find that are not there, Father. And, Lord, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just put Carson before you right now, God. And Father, we pray, God, that you would touch Carson and you'd bring healing, Father. And you'd bring restoration, God. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, we pray for Dwayne, who had complications during surgery. And God, we put him and his family before you right now. And God, we just pray, God, that even if this recovery takes time, God, that we will see restoration and healing, and we will see him blessed. And God, you give his family peace during the journey, Father. And Lord, they would just open up and see your hand on this situation. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I hope that you go from here and you have a super blessed day. Amen. I pray for you that are going to eat this afternoon, that you eat good and in peace, and that it's just a blessing for you. And I just pray blessing upon your day and upon your week. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here. And I look forward to seeing you again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.